Let me say this. God cannot be manipulated. God cannot be coerced into things. God is bigger than us. He's not the man upstairs. He's the God that speaks and creates the heavens and the earth.
This is Straight Talk.
Hello, I'm Joshua Halleck, your host at Straight Talk Radio. On behalf of Pastor Mark and the whole Straight Talk team, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. We get comments all the time about how people are being blessed through the work here, and it just delights us to know that we're a small part of your spiritual journey. We'd love to hear about it. Have you been blessed by the program? Do you have a story to tell of how God's used a message from the Bible through this program to bless your life? Or maybe you have a question, or there's something that's really bothering you that you'd love to hear Pastor Mark talk about or to have answered. Write to us at info@straighttalkchicago.org. You can send us an email at info@straighttalkchicago.org. Let us know. It means a lot to us. Thank you.
Thanks, Josh. Hi, everyone. We are continuing on with Pastor Mark's series called Experiencing God with the second half of his message today, called Rising Above Your Crisis of Faith. Our text will be found in the book of Exodus chapter 3. Here's Pastor Mark with this edition of Straight Talk.
So Moses is saying, when I go to the Egyptians and say that God has sent me, they're going to say, what God has sent you? What is this God's name? Because we have hundreds of gods in Egypt. What is the name of your God? Now there's something about a name that defines us. Something about a name that tells us about our character and who we are and what we are. And God responds to Moses. It's the first time in all of Scripture, in all of history, where God is defining his name. Notice what he says. He looks to Moses, and God says to Moses, in answer to the question, what is your name? He says, I am who I am. Well, that doesn't seem to help much. What kind of name is that? I'm going to go to the Egyptians and they'll say, who sent you? And you say, Moses is going to say, I am. And they're going to say, you are what? Well, I am has sent me. I am what are you? But there's something about that name that you need to understand. This is crucial because this is something vital about God. In these little words, I am that I am. And by the way, this name, I want you to see that it's not just something that God made up for that moment in time. Because look at what he says. He says, God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, verse 15, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever. The name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. So in verse 14, he says, I am who I am has sent you. And then in verse 15, he says, the Lord, the God of your fathers. Now I want you to understand this for a second. When God refers to himself, he refers to himself as the I am. When we refer to God, we refer to God as the He is. The term that he uses in verse 15 is the word he is. It's the same name, but when we refer to God, it's he is. When he refers to himself, it's the I am. Now, what exactly does that name mean? And how come we don't, when we worship, say, we worship you, I am? Well, what exactly does that name mean, and why is it important to God? Well, here's what I want you to understand about this name, because it's huge. It defines who God is. It says something about the nature of God. I am speaks to the self-existence that he has a being of himself. I am indicates that God has always been, will always exist. He has not been created. He has no creator. He has no beginning. He has no end. He is. He has always been, he will always be, and he is in the present now. He is bigger than a beginning, bigger than an end. You cannot contain him in a box. He is ever present, ever God, always existent, self-sufficient. It also speaks to his unchanging nature because he always is. He's not called I was. He's called I am. And the I am never has a change. Scripture tells us that Jesus is the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. That God is unchanging in his nature because God cannot improve and grow like you and I can improve. God has always been there. He doesn't improve upon himself because he has always been at the ultimate point of perfection. So therefore, God is. Not I am becoming, but God already is. He's bigger than your boxes, bigger than your definitions. He cannot be manipulated. He cannot be defined. He is an infinite, extraordinary, omnipotent, sovereign, omniscient God of the universe. He is. It tells us in Isaiah 42, verse 8, I am the Lord Yahweh. That is my name. I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to graven images. Now let me define this for a second as well. You say, well, Pastor, I read in the Old Testament, and as I read in the Old Testament, let me just ask you, have any of you heard the term Yahweh before? That name ring a bell? Okay, many of you, your English Bibles have the word Jehovah. Does that name sound a little bit more familiar? It should if you read your Bibles, because it appears in your Bibles over 6,800 times, so it should be fairly familiar to you, the word Jehovah. And you say, well, Pastor, I thought his name was Jehovah. Well, let me describe a little bit how our English version of the Bible came to the word Jehovah. This is important because Moses is asking, God, what is your name? Now, here's how it works. The word in the Hebrew, Yahweh, is the same as I am. It's the Hebrew way of saying I am. Now, the Jewish scholars, the scribes that wrote the Bible, that copied down the Old Testament, they revered, in the Jewish culture, they revered the name of God so much that they were afraid of pronouncing the name of God. They were afraid of misspeaking the name of God because one of the Ten Commandments is, thou shalt not use the name of the Lord your God in vain. And so it was so holy, so sacred, so powerful that they were afraid of speaking the name of God in a wrong way. Now, we've come a long way, haven't we? We GD this and blankety blank this and Jesus this. And so we have very little reverence for the name of God. But in the Old Testament, there was a high reverence because they understood the power and magnitude of God. So although his name was Yahweh in the Old Testament manifest, they were so afraid of speaking his name that they took the vowels out of Yahweh and they would pronounce it something like Yahweh, like a whisper of his name, just the consonants of his name. They would only pronounce the consonants of his name, not the whole name, because he was so holy, and they were afraid, in essence, to pronounce the entire name of God. Now, the name Yahweh occurs over 6,800 times in Scripture. It comes three times more than the name of Elohim. It means to be, to live, to exist. Now, there's four consonants in the name Yahweh. Y-H-W-H. So the Hebrews, when they spoke to themselves about God, they would say, Yahweh, quietly. They'd say, well, who is it? He's Yahweh. Such reverence to the names. In fact, the scribes, I'm told, that the scribes, when they were to write the name Yahweh in Scripture, the people that that copied the Bible by hand, manuscripts, they would take a bath before they wrote his name. They would get a brand new pen and write down the name Yahweh, and afterwards they would break that pen. And if they came to his name again to write it down, they would take another bath, get a new pen, and write it down. Think about verses that have a lot of Yahweh, and man, these were the most clean scribes all around, man. They had to take a lot of baths in a couple of days there. But they had so much reverence for the name of God that because they did not pronounce the name, and it was kind of hard to say, later on in centuries, the name Adonai. Have you ever heard of that? The name Adonai. It's also in the Old Testament. It's one of the other names of God. Adonai, Elohim, Adonai. What the Jewish people did is they took the four consonants of Yahweh and they merged it with the vowels of Adonai, and we came up with the English version of what we now have as Jehovah. So, is it wrong to call God Jehovah? No, it's understand. I understand what you're saying. It's just not the original. In essence, when we say Jehovah, what we are saying is we worship the I Am, the He Is, the self-existent, always existent God. That's why His name is combined with other action verbs. For example, have you ever heard someone say Jehovah Jireh? Jireh means that God always provides. Jehovah means He is, He always is, He's the I Am, He is my provider. The Hebrew word for healing is Rapha or Rofi. He is Jehovah Rofi. That means He is the healer. You understand? He is everything that we need at this very moment in our life because He's the self-existent, eternal God of the universe. That all that you need, He is already in you and provided for you now. That's who God is. And so God manifests Himself to Moses and He says, I am that I am, has sent you. He says, I'm the God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. I'm the God of covenant. Here's what I want you to understand, folks. This is huge. You need to understand who God is. You need to understand, and I see in a lot of Christianity today, and let me say this. God cannot be manipulated. God cannot be coerced into things. God is bigger than us. He's not the man upstairs. He's the God that speaks and creates the heavens and the earth. He's the God that flung the stars in the universe. He's the God that holds all of destiny in His hands. Now, I understand this concept of Jesus being my friend and God being my friend, and Abraham was called a friend of God, but never let your familiarity with God take away your reverence for who He is. Never allow that sense of closeness to God take away from the holiness of God and the power of God and the reverence of God, because our God is also called a consuming fire. He's a powerful God of the universe that is not a pocket-sized God. He's much bigger than who we are. And He's not a God that can be manipulated. He's not a God that you pull strings and He dances for you. He's a God that's bigger than our boxes. He's a God that's unpredictable and strong.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Job in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Rising Above Your Crisis of Faith, which is from our series called Experiencing God. Stay tuned to learn how you get a free copy of this message as well as information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry and New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to the book of Exodus, chapter 3, and Pastor Mark's message called Rising Above Your Crisis of Faith.
He's a God that's holy above all other things. Listen, He is a God that all the universe, both the seen and unseen universe, revolves around His existence. And for you and I as finite beings to act as though our lives are the center of the universe is the ultimate insult to God Almighty. To act as though God is a puppet in our plan, to act as though our life is the center, and to say, God, join my life and join my plan, is the ultimate insult to God, because God is sovereign. It is God who deserves to be at the center of your life, this universe, and your heart. You say, well, Pastor, where does Jesus fit into this? Well, if you read the New Testament, in John chapter 13, verse 19, Jesus said, now I tell you before it comes, that when it comes to pass, you may believe that I am. John chapter 8, verse 58, Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was," this is Jesus, who was in his 30s, he says to these people, "I want to tell you that before Abraham was," Abraham lived hundreds of years before Jesus, "that before Abraham was, I am." The Jewish people fully understood that Jesus was claiming to be God, and it says they took him out and they were ready to stone him, kill him, because they understood that Jesus was proclaiming that he was the I am. And I bring this to the New Testament because I think you need to understand what the New Testament is. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, there's a word that we use. We use the word Lord. The word master. And when we bow our knee and say that he's going to be Lord of our life, in essence what you're saying is you are saying to God, "God, I take myself out of the driver's seat. I no longer rule, manage, control my life. I put you at the center of my life, and now you are the Lord or master of my life. My life belongs to you." That's what it means to be a follower of the great I am. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. It's not simply that we receive a Savior that washes us from our sins past. It's also that we receive a Lord that rules and dominates in our life, that gives us the direction and the rule of our life. You see, you'll never embrace Christianity unless you understand it. Jesus said that if we're going to follow him, we must basically die. The road to life is the road to death. What death? That there's part of ourselves that we have to say no to. I'm buried with Jesus Christ, and now I live. I'm dead to myself, alive to God. Baptism symbolizes that. My old life is buried, and now I'm being resurrected to a new life, and now there's a new ruler of my life. His name is God Almighty. His name is the I Am, and the I Am lives in my life via the Holy Spirit. He's with me all the time, 24/7. He's ruling my life, and my job is to yield to the rule of the Holy Spirit because he's the center of the universe, drawing all things to the center of God's plan. So Moses wrestles with who God is, he wrestles with himself, and lastly, he wrestles with God's plan. You see, you will begin to wrestle with, okay, who am I, who is God, and what is the plan? You know, some of you are caught in the middle of a plan of God that's hard for you to understand. You don't understand it. You'll need to wrestle with accepting God's plan. You see, you'll never accept the plan unless, first of all, you understand the God behind the plan. Hello? Some of you think that life is just a series of detached coincidences, but I want you to understand that that negates the sovereignty of God. Your life is not a series of unlucky incidences. There is a God that's sovereign that controls the sequence of events in the universe. That's the sovereignty of God. That before things were ever to become, they were predestined and preordained by a God that manages the past, present, and future. Now, that doesn't take away from your free will, your power to make choices, but it does mean that your choices do not surprise a sovereign, omniscient God. God is never surprised by your bad choices. He's never like, "Oh, wow, you surprised me." No, he knew already. Now, he doesn't approve of it, but he knows already. And so when we face a crisis of faith in our life and we have to navigate through plans that we don't understand, some of you are in a situation right now that you say, "I don't know why I'm here in this situation. I don't know what God is doing." Have you ever said that? I've said that before. "God, what are you doing?" And I wish at that time that God would send me an email. "Oh, glad you asked. Here's exactly what I'm doing. Man, I was just hoping that you would ask. Here, is there an explanation? Because in a couple years, this is what's going to happen. And just wanted to cue you in on what's going on here." You know, typically I don't get any of that. No email. I get a lot of emails, but no emails from God. You know what I hear from God? "Trust me." If you're in the middle of plans that you don't understand and God is saying cooperate, and you say, well, there's things that I don't understand, there's things that are hard, God says, trust me. You see, some of you don't trust God because you don't know God. Or the God that you know is a skewed view of God. You see, the more you know God, the more you trust his character, the easier it is to let go and say, God, I don't understand, but I trust you. My kids are growing up now, but when they were little, one of the safest places for them I could tell to be was in my arms. Like, as little kids, they would go like this, Dad! And then I'd hold them, and they would just seem like, hey, it's okay. And I'd play around with them. My wife said, don't, watch it. Especially the boys. Hey, watch, one hand, woo, I'd drop them. And you know what? My boys would laugh. I'd hang them over my back, shake them like this, and they would laugh. You know why? They trusted me. They knew me. Now, if a stranger tried to do that to them, they'd probably cry. But because they trusted me, a lot of things could happen. And here's what little kids do. They look to their parents. If their parents are nervous or confused or look scary, then they get scared. But if their parents are calm, no matter what happens, then they seem calm. Why? Because they're trusting the parents. Moses says, I'm not sure exactly what's going to happen. And God says to him, hey, this is what's going to happen. You're going to go there. You're going to talk. You're going to speak. They're going to reject it. I'm going to have to do signs and wonders. They're finally going to let you go. And in the end, when they let you go, they're going to give you all their gold and silver just to get you out of there. And this seemed like unfathomable, hard to understand, but God was simply telling Moses, Moses, the future does not catch me by surprise. I'm asking you to trust me. I wonder this morning, how many of you God is saying in the middle of your crossroads, in the middle of your difficulty, hey, trust me. I am still in control. Some of you have been so wound up, so trying to figure things out, that God is saying, take a deep breath. Relax. I'm in control. Some of you worried, anxious, trying to figure out the future, and you can't. And God is just saying, trust me. Now, it doesn't mean it's not going to be difficult. Doesn't mean you're not going to go through unexpected things. But it means that you have to release your plans in part. To say, God, I had all my plans laid out, but my plans are not your plans. Your plans are bigger than my plans. So I'm releasing my plans, embracing your plans. I'm trusting you and seeking to be obedient to you in the here and the now. God is saying, trust him. I'm going to ask as the worship team makes their way up front, I'm going to give an altar call this morning. God's invitation leads us to a crisis of faith, where we question who we are, who God is, and we're challenged to trust the plans that God has laid out for us. I don't believe in destiny. I believe in God who holds destiny. I don't believe in fate. I believe in God who determines fate. God who holds the future in his hands. Some of you have been anxious and worried about a lot of things, and you just are trying to figure out, you're trying to control things that you cannot control. Listen, just admit, there are things in life that you cannot control. You need to begin to live where you're okay with that. I cannot control the economy. I cannot control the day that I die. I cannot control other people. I cannot control the destiny of my children. I cannot control the attitude of my spouse. I cannot control the decisions of my employers. But the things I cannot control, I can release to the God who controls all things, who's sovereign over all things.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe and the conclusion of his message called Rising Above Your Crisis of Faith. which is part 3 from our series called Experiencing God. And as I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app that you can find at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find other great messages that you can download to help you with your spiritual walk. You can also contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300 if you would prefer to have a CD. CDs are only $5 plus shipping. We also would like to invite you to visit one of our New Life campuses. There are 25 New Life churches throughout Chicago, and you can check us out at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. Please do tune in again on the next Straight Talk for the second half of this message, and please do tell a friend. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great evening, and God bless.